How you doing?
Good. How are you?
In order to talk today about what I want to deal with, I kind of want to use a metaphor. In order to give you a picture of the metaphor, I'm going to draw upon one of the smartest people from my childhood.
Peabody, that was amazing! Paul, wasn't that amazing?
I'm more into rock and roll. I meant flamenco. Bagpipes? Didgeridoo. This has been great, but a complete waste of time. Now let's get Penny and go.
Are you all right, Paul?
I'm fine.
Paul, if I might.
Stay away from me, Peabody. Just get back. I need traction.
You can trust me, Paul. I'm a licensed chiropractor.
Ow! Peabody, I feel great. I really feel great.
Peabody, you're a miracle worker.
You ever had your back out of whack? When your back is not right, it affects everything, doesn't it? You can't move. I know there's some days where I feel like I get up and it's like there's this spot right here in the middle of my back, and it's kind of like it's on a hinge, and I don't feel like I can get the hinge up. So I'm walking around like I'm kind of maybe 75 or 80 instead of a spry 56, 55, whatever. Well, here's the metaphor. When your life's not in alignment with God's purpose, it affects everything. So what I want to focus on today is sort of the title, Critical Alignment, lining up our lives with God's purpose. There's five places that I see very clearly. There may be others, quite frankly, but very clearly in the Bible where I see alignment taking place in the life of a believer. And I want to talk about each one today. What we'll do is I'll mention them, then we'll look at some biblical passages that are very familiar to you. And then we're going to look at them sort of from a different perspective. This perspective of aligning our lives with God's purpose. And how does that happen? And I've got questions, like always, that I want to ask you about each one of those. So let's go to the list. First one on the list is conversion. Okay, when we come to faith in Christ, our lives begin to come in agreement with God. Before that, they weren't. And at that point, they become. Something happens. Number two, mission. At some point, God's mission becomes our mission. Before our mission becomes His mission, there's not an alignment. Three. What I'll call maintenance. And that is, our lives get realigned and reset on a constant basis. And cool is that in the Bible, there's provision for that. Four, personality. Our personalities are supposed to become like Jesus' personality. Now, the cool thing is that no matter who we are, no matter how we are, we can become more like Jesus and we don't lose ourselves. How that happens is a miraculous mystery. But it does. And it's supposed to. Our personalities are supposed to become more like Jesus. And number five, impact. Our footsteps, the places where our lives have been over the course of our experience on the face of the planet, are supposed to resemble Jesus' footsteps in some way, some shape, some form. And before we're in Christ, that does not happen. Yeah, we can have impact. We can name a whole list of dastardly characters in the history of the planet. And they had impact. But they did not have a redemptive, redeeming, God-focused purpose that changes the world for the better. So we're going to look at each of these, look at passages that demonstrate that at conversion and in mission and maintenance and personality and impact, there's places where this critical alignment can take place and does take place. Okay? All right, so first of all, conversion, when we come to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17, most of you can almost just quote it, depending on the version. What does it say, somebody? Okay, let's do it this way. Let's all say it at the same time. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. So at that point in time, whenever we ask Christ, we allow Christ, Jesus, to become the Lord of our lives, something happened, not only for us, but to us, as we say around here. And we were aligned. That which kept us from being with God was removed, and we now can be lined up with His life, His purpose, everything. All right, a second passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Can you see that? So here, Paul says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, that's every stinking one of us, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. 4 and 5, but because of His great mercy, His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. So, when Jesus came into our lives, something changed. Here's the question. Before we received Christ, how were our lives out of alignment? We were dead. We had nothing to align to God's purpose with. Followed the ways of the world. Selfish. So we were aimless. We were jerked around. Have you ever seen, whenever something's getting jerked around, you know, you ever seen like those big, you know, or seen a truck that's got a trailer behind it, and you can tell that that trailer is in trouble? Because you see, it's getting jerked around side to side, back and forth, okay? You feel like that, don't you? It is very important that we remember what life was like before Christ. Not that we wallow in it, but that we remember it. Because that is our motivation to understand the love of God and the power of God to change us. Which is what this is all about today. The fact is, when our lives come into alignment with God's purpose, it's saying that there has to have been a change. And that change does not stop. And that it has many touch points in our lives. And that's what we're talking about today. Our lives were out of alignment. Now, here's the second question. In what way did that change when we accepted Him as the one with authority to rule in our lives? In what way did that change us? Okay, so even the definition of things changed in terms of the way we relate. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Hang in there with me. I'm not trying to be blasphemous in any way. I struggle sometimes with definitions of things like what it means to all of a sudden have faith in Christ. Sometimes. I mean, I know when I don't have it, I know when I do have it, but what is it that causes that? How does that happen? Now, that's a miraculous thing. In fact, even whenever I described it in this statement right here, I tried to use a different way of looking at what we're saying. In what way did that change when we accepted Him as the one with authority to lead and rule our lives? Because what does it mean to say that Jesus is our Lord? There's a whole culture out there that means nothing to them. Or to say, even when we dumb it down and we kind of trivialize it and say, when He becomes our boss. Okay, it's a little better picture, but it's a little bit arbitrary because we don't like bosses a whole lot. So what are we saying happens when we change? We do surrender, and that is a good metaphor. But there's more. So it's really hard sometimes to define all these things that we're talking about. And sometimes we talk about them like they just, everybody gets it. To say, I was saved, or I was converted, or I was... All that stuff is so mechanical. One of the things that I guess I'm trying to say is, unless this alignment has taken place, you just don't get it. You don't understand it. In fact, what you do is you end up scratching your head whenever somebody says, Jesus is the, how do you let Jesus be the Lord of your life? There's a whole lot of people that do not know anything about how to relate to that expression. But yet, that is what happens when we align, when our lives, He changes us. When we come to Christ, we surrender, His life comes into us, He takes our sin away, we're changed, we're new, and now we're lined up with God's purpose for the first time. It is a significant point where that alignment takes place. It begins. And the problem is, we have a whole lot of people that don't have a clue as to what that means. How can I describe or explain or articulate this alignment that has to take place initially? Because I can't make it happen. You couldn't make it happen. We couldn't just wish it. There's something that's more divine, more godly, more miraculous in this than any human metaphor can explain. But we're doing the best we can. It's the ones we're given. But to say that we were converted, saved, those expressions at times are lacking. So we had to be careful how we use them, especially around people that don't have a clue. Yes. Now, here's what I want to move on after this. The words we use to describe what happens at a point of change seems to be all us-centered, me-centered. I received Christ. I made a decision. I surrendered to God. Okay, that's fine. And those are parts of what happens. But there's something on the God side that we cannot describe. He did something to me that I did not do. My decision, because I couldn't make it happen. That's the whole idea of there's no magic hocus pocus prayer. Okay? You pray this prayer and you're in. It's a matter of your heart, your will, what God can discern and understand that we can't even articulate perhaps. That we are willing to just let go. It's a matter, that's why I don't know why I'm using this metaphor, but I'm there. When you come into a line with something, you can tell because you know when it's not. You know when your tires are out of alignment. You know when your back's out of alignment. And we are called to be people in alignment with God's purpose. And these things that we're talking about, they're not optional. Not one of them is optional. They're all a part of the same relationship. But they all demonstrate that we are supposed to be in alignment with God. That's what we were made for. So at the point when we come into alignment with God, whenever that is, there's the our part and there's the His part. And somehow He was at work before we even thought of our part. And then He did something to us as we were in our part. And then once we did our part, then He's doing something that we can't even express or understand. He just made us new. Which goes to number six. I mean, relationships could be another one. You know, how we relate to other people. Now, I mean, if you want to talk about a point of alignment. So really, this metaphor, this analogy goes a long way and can be applied in a lot of different directions. Okay, so are you with me on this? So why is it necessary for this point of alignment to happen? There is no other options, right? You know, we're out of alignment. You know, there's pain, there's difficulty, there's a lot of things that come along with remaining out of alignment, right? All those things that we've said, the surrender, the under God's authority, all of that is essential to being able to live in agreement with God's purpose, to be aligned with it. So our pride has to go bye-bye. Because my way is not God's way most of the time. If it's the way that I've thought up. Okay? It was good maybe, but it's not God. It's not to say that I'm not supposed to have any ideas or any thoughts. Okay? It's that I submit them, surrender them. And then the ones that He says, yep, that's mine, I get to pursue. And the ones that He says, nope, that's not, I don't. All right, point of conversion. We got that. First and very significant point of alignment in our lives if we're going to line up with God's purpose. Number two, mission. Okay. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians. You forgot that this couple of verses came after the new creation verse, but it's very handily, very nearby when Paul said, all of this is from God. He's talking about being new creations, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us something. What did He give us? The ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We've got it. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. His mission being our mission. If our mission is not His mission, then what's the problem? God's purpose, His mission is in line with His purpose, and then we're not in line with His mission. We have another mission. We are not in His purpose. You know, one of the things that every believer should want is to be able to say that we participated in God's plan the way He wants us to participate. In whatever role that is. Accomplish whatever events, things, influence whoever we're supposed to influence. That's fulfillment. Mission. The mission of reconciliation. All right? What's the other passage we talk about when we talk about mission? Yes. Something that I think we too easily pass over. It's the great what? Can you break that up? Mission. Co-mission. Okay? His mission is our mission, so it's a co-mission. Okay? So Matthew 28:19-20. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Ministry of reconciliation, making disciples, is there any difference between the two? It's the same mission. It's just a matter of how you say it. How does a person become a disciple? That's what we were just talking about a minute ago, right? Right? We're going to get to that in personality. Yes, yes. I'm going to kind of lop that in with personality because I couldn't think any better place to put that. But mission, as we talk about, and it is part of it is, you know, speaking those. God's mission becoming our mission. Sharing the mission, the one that God has set forth for us. But what was our mission before we surrendered our authority of our lives to Jesus? Now, what was our mission before? Whatever I wanted, right? Whatever I thought I wanted, whatever I needed, whatever craving, whatever. Okay? Any other way you want to describe it? What was your mission? Okay? You know, my mission was to be a good guy and to try to play baseball in college. When I was a high school kid, that was my mission. That was what I wanted to do. There was nothing else that was on my plate. I can't. My mission was also to find somebody and get married. That was also a part of my mission. Okay. Funny thing happens along the way to eternity. Is that when you align with God's mission, it doesn't always happen the way you think, but yet some of the things that you thought were a part of your mission really were a part of God's mission too. Better than you thought. So, how have our lives changed once we embraced God's mission? Now, this is the very important question. Why is it so important? It's important that we can say there's a change. Because if there is no change in our mission, we need to go back to, has there been a change in my life? If it's still about me, it's not about Jesus. It's a big question. So any one of us sitting in here today, we ought to be able to say that we know there's a change that's taken place. We might not be able to tell you how. Some of us can't tell us, some of us can't even say when. They know it's happened somewhere along there. They can describe the process, but they can't say, oh, today it was lightning bolt, boom. Can't do that. It's okay. But there's a change in our mission. There's a change in our life. It's a critical alignment. It's a critical point of alignment. If we want to be lined up with God's purpose. So, here's the next question. Can we get off mission? And how does that happen? Can we get off mission? We got Peter in the boat. Peter out of the boat. Here in the water. We can get off mission because we're human. So you see how it's okay, it's at the point whenever your life changes and you're now a new creation. And at that point, probably, it ought to be that his mission becomes our mission. Should be. Sometimes it takes us a while to learn that. Because when we're new creations, we're babies and we don't know what's supposed to be happening yet. So we can kind of get caught up in that I got a bottle in my mouth thing, and we can delay understanding this alignment of our mission should be his mission. It does sometimes get delayed. It can happen. Shouldn't happen, but it does. All right, so there's two things. All right, after maintenance, okay, now we come to maintenance. We go to 1 John 1:9. Whenever we get out of alignment, what do? 1 John 1:9. We claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Woe, we're still out of alignment. However, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We're back in alignment. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. We're out of alignment. This is a miraculous gift that when we come to this point, we get out of alignment, we can be realigned. But it takes something akin to what we had to be willing to do when we were made new. Again, for Him to be able to do what He wants to do, which is realign us. Does that make sense? We kind of have to go back to square one. Not like we lost our salvation, that's not what we're talking about. But He can realign us when we are willing to have the same approach as we did when we first came to Him, which was confessing, I sinned, I'm a sinner, saying, I don't want to do anymore, I want to repent, I want to apply my will to not doing that again, not choosing that. So how does this kind of maintenance then realign us with God's purpose? If we don't maintain and we get out of alignment, we'll just continue to follow the trajectory of being out of alignment. And if you know anything, you kind of, the farther away you get, the farther along, the farther off you get from where your alignment's supposed to be, right? Isn't that what happened? So it's important that when we kind of realign. That way, you know, if we go back off track, we just stay closer to the alignment, the more often we get realigned. So what we have is, when we're made new, mission, and now this opportunity for maintenance, all of them are points where alignment is critical and is a part of the experience of being a disciple. You with me on this? Our part is to confess and repent. That's it. We don't, you know, and then Jesus said, do the acts in keeping with repentance. You know, but that's not what earns us the grace or forgiveness. That's just what we do because we've received it. All right. I got three in today. We'll do the two others next Sunday. Okay? This is the thing that we have to offer the world. We have to understand it. Or at least, maybe we can't describe it and define it, but we have to be able to talk it. People have to understand that we're about grace and forgiveness. That we are not about a God that is going to stomp us like a bug when we do wrong, or is willing and quick to throw us away. But that even though He knows we are going to sin tomorrow, He still forgives us today, and He forgives us tomorrow if we agree and we confess, and with our desire, with our hearts, we repent, and we will to be. It's so. Like you said, it's so daily. It is maintenance. It is like all the time. But it's not that we have to fear, I didn't do it last 30 seconds. I'm not fessed up. Oh, no. You see where I'm going? It's such a blessing, and it's what we have to offer the world. It is the ministry of reconciliation. It's not about separation. It's about being reconciled to God, which is in alignment, by the way. Reconciled to one another, which, again, we'll try to get to maybe a little bit as we go down the road. All right. So next Sunday, we'll talk about the next two. Anybody remember what they are? What comes after maintenance? Personality. Oh, it's all right. Impact. I didn't remember either. All right, we'll talk about personality impact next Sunday. And maybe even a little bit of relationships if we kind of get there. All right, and we make a sixth thing there. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can have this relationship with you, that we can be brought into align with your purpose and your will and your blessing, and we get to enjoy life now and life in eternity that we can't even comprehend. Lord, I ask that we would be open and teachable, that we would hear everything that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would draw us closer to yourself. Lord, this is not just a cutesy little lesson. It is a way to understand something very important. And I pray, Lord, that we will internalize and act on what we are taught and what we have discussed. Thank you for helping us be teachers to one another. And I just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.